that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Let's sing that first verse together one more time.
I was shackled by a heavy burden.
Yes, I was, Lord. Hallelujah, Father.
I was neath the load of guilt and shame.
Hallelujah, Father.
Oh, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer.
Oh, if He's touched you this morning, let's raise our hands and give Him praise. Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes, Jesus touched me. Oh, He touched me.
Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Something it happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Praise the Lord this morning. I tell you what, there ain't nothing like the touch from the Master. You know, we can get satisfaction out of one, this thing, that thing in life, but nothing's like the touch of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles together to Romans chapter 5. Dad says it's really good to see Mary and Ellen here. I tell you what, without her, I don't know if I'd be going to Marathon, because she's treating me like gold every time I walked in there, and she wouldn't lie to me or nothing like that. Like, you get a lot of places anymore nowadays, they just want your money. But they, I might be advertising for them, but I believe Marathon does a good job for us. So, amen. Romans chapter 5. Let's read just this couple scriptures together, standing in reverence of God's word, and then I'll let you have your seats. I'm going to continue the same thought and as what we have been on Sunday, and I'll get to that in a minute here. But Romans chapter 5. Starting at verse 10. Everybody there?
Amen.
Thank you. For if, when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've read Your word. Lord, it's just words on a page. It could be the same as a newspaper. But Lord, if You'll just come, anoint Your word that we know is eternal in heaven right into our hearts, Lord, to change us from where we are to where we ought to be this morning. Help us, Father, if there's any sin between us and You, Lord, just erase it from us, Lord, that we can receive the word of God. Lord, we come here to give You praise, to give You honor, to give You glory. Preach through me now, Lord, and may You listen through the people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to continue on. It's been the Sunday series, we'll call it that. Perfect atonement by a perfect husband produces a perfect bride. A perfect atonement by a perfect husband produces a perfect bride. Just to backdrop a little bit, how many husbands are there again? Go ahead and say it nice and loud, those of you that are here.
One.
There's only one husband. We're only allowed to be married to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. You can't be married to Jesus Christ and the world at the same time. You can't be married to the Word of God and your own idea at the same time. You can't be called a Christian and attach yourself as a Baptist or something like that and then twist away from the Scriptures. You're not allowed to do that. We have one identification, and that's with the Word of God, because the Word is God. Amen. So there's only one husband. We talked after that we had two choices. We could either be the bride of Jesus Christ, or we could be a part of Laodicea. The bride of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ in another form. The Laodicea is the lukewarm church. Those that come, they're religious, they have a form, but they've never met God. They don't have a relationship with Him. And I trust that this morning we don't want to be a part of Laodicea. We're here to be a part of the bride.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to be married to Christ and nothing else in my life. After that, we discuss what the bride's name was. And just like any wife that gets married to a husband, she takes his last name. She becomes a part of his name. And when we marry Christ, we become a part of his name. That now I'm attached. I'm not just Andrew Kressel. I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And Christ comes from Jesus Christ's name. And I took on his name.
Sure.
Because we have been wedded in holy wedlock. Uh-huh. Now this morning, I expressed this to a few people that I felt like I just didn't quite get where I wanted to get last week. And I was wrestling about it. I said, Lord, did I miss something? Did I say something wrong? Do I need to go back? Or what do I need to do here? And he kind of came to me and says, well, you told the people. And you know how the Lord talks to you right in your heart sometimes. He said, you told the people what their name was, but you know, never told them what to do with it. Didn't tell them what is it for. What does that mean then? So this morning, title for this part is Using Our New Name. Using Our New Name. Amen. So let's go back to that scripture. I really want to delve into this because this really lays a backdrop for everything I'm about to say. So in verse 10, I'm going to have to get a drink quick here. Thank you, Kate. Appreciate that. Now, if you don't make Mary Ellen feel at home, you want to say amen, that's just fine with me, all right? I don't even care if my little son wants to give a hallelujah over there. I'm all right with that. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Let me get Paul's point here, is when God knew you were his enemy, we are all born in the world in sin. We all came doing what we wanted to do. We didn't care about the things of God. We did what our mind thought was right. When we were an enemy, what does it say? We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So even when we were coming against him, his hand of love still reached out to us and said, I want you to come back to me. I am not going to let you keep going that way. That's the way of hell. And any man in his own mind will think he's right. But there's a way that seems right to a man, and it leads to death.
Right.
There's only one right path, and that's God's way. And you have a choice this morning. You have your way or God's way. Your way, I will guarantee you, will head you right to hell as fast as you can go. But if you'll die to your own thoughts and take what the Word of God has said and take God's way, that only goes one way, and that's up.
Amen.
Not left or right, not up, just one direction, up into glory. I looked in that word reconcile. You know, we kind of use it a little loosely sometimes. Well, what does it mean to reconcile something? For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. We know that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for one purpose, and that was to bring us back to God. Because the word reconcile, means to reestablish a close relationship. Now, it didn't say to establish a close relationship.
Right.
It said to reestablish a closer relationship. To settle, to resolve, to bring oneness again. So what does that go to show you? That in God's mind, now God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. Our thoughts come, they go, we change our mind. I'll change my mind 5 minutes from now what I want to eat for lunch, probably. Right? I think I want this, and then I go over there and it changes. God's thoughts aren't that way. God don't have new thoughts. He's already known everything. He never learned anything. And he never started either. And like I said many times when I go into this, you can't just put your mind around this. You can't think, I can't think nothing new. I already know it all. None of us have experienced this. But that's the way God was. So when God, before anything was created physically, before you could even see it, in God's mind, all these things were real.
Right.
He already seen it all. There was no time to him. There's no tomorrow. There's no yesterday. It's all the present tense. It's all right now. So in God's mind, his children were already saved.
Amen.
He already knew who would be saved. If we don't say that God knows who's saved and who's not, then God don't know everything. But we know he does. He knows what decisions we'll make, so he knows who's saved. He knows who will not be saved. God has opened his arms to everyone. Oh, he did it to Judas when he was betraying him. Judas came up to Jesus and betrayed him and gave him a kiss. And he said, you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? He was always reaching out to Judas to try to bring him in. But he already knew he will not accept. Because he's God. He knows the beginning to the end. So that's the way God could predestinate. It wasn't that he made people make a decision. He didn't make you be a Christian. He didn't make you not be a Christian. He gave you the choice, but he already knows your choice. Amen. So when we're being reconciled, means that if you're saved today,
You were always saved.
Amen.
Because in God's mind, he knew it. This is my son. Not just Jesus Christ either. He's got many sons that he's bringing with him. Right. And if you can know that you've been saved by the grace of God, and you're a son or daughter of God, that means you were always a son or daughter of God. And God sent his son to reconcile the relationship back.
Yes.
Because you go in the Garden of Eden, right? Adam and Eve, we're having a good time. God would come down in the cool of the evening, showing that God is a being. He's not like the wind. He's not like just everything. Because then why would you have to pray for the Holy Ghost if he's just everywhere? That's not how it works. He's a being. Now, he knows everything, so he can be anywhere he wants to be. Right. He already knows all about it. But his presence is a being.
Amen.
Just like us, okay? And he would come down in the Garden of Eden and fellowship with Adam and Eve. And actually, her name was Eve at that time. Remember, that wasn't until after the fall. He'd come fellowship with his children.
Right.
You think, is there any other desire in our hearts but to have that again?
Right.
That's all I desire. And if there's another desire in the way, we need to check out, make sure we don't got another husband again.
Oh, yes,
we need to crucify all those other things. Our whole desire should be to spend fellowship with God. Because he is, like I said, he's a being. He's real. He has feelings. Where do you think you got yours from? He had them first. He can love. He can hate. The Bible says it, okay? God loves everybody. Really? I can show you a scripture where he said he hated Esau.
Right.
Now, he does present love to everyone, but he already knows he's going to reject him. He knew Judas would be the son of perdition, like we said a minute ago. But that relationship that was there in the Garden of Eden was the way God intended it. He got done on the sixth day and said, it is very good.
Amen.
I've set the solar systems. I've set the earth, the animals, everything, mankind. And then I come down to my fellowship, and that's the way it was supposed to be. But when sin entered in, when God had told him specifically, don't do this. And that's what they went out and did. And that's just the way of man, isn't it? God gives us like I said, you can come up with your list of things that you're going to try to do. You're going to fail it every time. I'm going to pray this long every day. No, you're not. I'm going to read this. No, you won't. You'll get distracted with something. Satan ain't dumb, all right? He knows you. And God knows you too.
Amen.
He didn't save us by works. He saved us by grace.
Amen.
That when you were enemies, he still came after you. He still brought you back. Showing, like we said, the word reconciled. He is reestablishing the relationship we had with him in his mind before anything ever got here.
Amen.
And it's going to be right back like it was in the Garden of Eden. God's going to be able to come down in the cool of the evening. Just imagine who we're talking to here this morning. You're not talking to me. You're not listening to me. It's the Almighty. He knows everything about you.
Sure.
What do you ask somebody that knows everything? You know what I mean? What kind of conversations can you have? He already knows what you're going to say. Well, it's just like us and our children, right? We know better than them. We could tell them answers for certain things. You know, here's this question, 2 + 2. I already know the answer. But you still ask them why. You want to see their response. That's a relationship. It's on both ends. And just because God's reaching out, if you're not reaching back, you don't have a relationship with him.
Right.
It would be like God coming down in the cool of the evening and Adam and Eve run off somewhere. Oh, we don't need to spend no time with him. How many times has that happened in our lives? God comes down in the cool of the evening in our houses, and what are we doing? Yep. Or it's like this now, right? We got the iPad or the iPhone or whatever. And I'm not preaching on you, all right? I'm preaching on this guy too. I do it too all the time. And I go, God have mercy. What am I doing? Why am I wasting my time?
Right.
Why? When I could spend it with the God of eternity. When I could be in that relationship that I'm supposed to have with him. Because the Bible says, those that have been born again, you've been reconciled back to God. Which means you can have this relationship with him.
Yes, we can.
Man, I'm not getting nowhere. I tell you what, maybe somebody needs something this morning. Actually, I know we need something this morning. I don't want to say maybe there. Verse 11, let's read this now. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So this isn't something that you're supposed to put off somewhere. You're supposed to know that you have received Christ now. I know I'm saved now because I've had an experience. He touched me and I am no longer the same that we sang this morning. And if you look at your life and you went a certain direction and then you say you got converted and you kept going that direction, you didn't get converted yet. You thought you did. You might have got religious. But no. When Christ comes, all things are made new.
Amen.
You're not the same creature no more. The things that would motivate you to do evil, those things die. And then you recognize, I have power to overcome this. Because the overcomer came into you. We talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God in the spirit form. And that God can come into you and then live His life out. And He's already overcome everything that we have need of.
Amen.
Now the word atonement, it's another one of those words that we kind of just skim right over real fast. But I looked up a lot of different definitions and stuff, but I was looking to find what does it mean in the Bible? Because this scripture I just read is actually the only time in the New Testament the Bible uses the word atonement. In the Old Testament, it used it a whole bunch. Because they would bring their sacrifices and they would lay out about how to do this trespass offering, this sin offering, this peace offering, and so on and so forth. And it was called the atonement. And like I said, if we use that word a little loosely, we don't know, well, what does that mean? We have a general idea, you know, I sin, I give this sacrifice, then my sins are gone. That's atonement. But the word atonement comes from at-one-ment. Okay? Now, like I never looked at it that way, that this is, it's actually three words. At-one-ment. So let's go. 1 minute. That means that we were separated, and whatever is happening is bringing us back to one. It is a one-ment. We don't use that word. But that's what it means. It means to bring something back to one. The same thing as reconcile. Reconcile and atonement are the same principle. When this atonement was made, it means it brought us back to Him. Back in fellowship one again. We are one mint. And the action is why you put at one mint. I'm doing something to bring reconciliation. Look, that cross wasn't an easy day for Jesus Christ. We know He prayed at least twice that this thing would pass from Him. Because, like we said, He knew what was coming. You imagine sitting there going, they're going to beat me until they can't even tell I'm human anymore.
Right?
Not, and you're completely innocent. You haven't done anything. And now I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to go there. And it's not going to be this. They didn't like Jesus Christ, okay? Because He didn't have a following then. Sometimes we get an idea that, oh yeah, you know, but there was all these people out here. No, He was by Himself. They'd all left Him.
Right.
Even His own disciples were scared. They ran off. He went to the cross by Himself for one purpose. And that was the whole reason He was even born. We celebrate Christmas, and I think it's good that the Savior came. But without Easter, there was no purpose.
That's right.
Because Christ was already saved, okay? He didn't have to save Himself. He had to save us.
Right.
And that's why He came, to bring us back to a one-one. The atonement brought us back into fellowship with God. And let's read this in the Scriptures once. And now I'm going to start rolling real fast here. 2 Corinthians, shortly after there, chapter 5. Enjoying it this morning? Amen. Amen. Knowing that you're in fellowship with God is what it means everything. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Should be shortly thereafter. Gospels and stuff. Probably, where you at, Brandy? You got it? Oh, you got the same Bible as me. That's right. 12:33, Brandy. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we've already talked about that. You need a change. There's got to be something from the inside changes on the way out. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's the real ministry. Okay? The ministry isn't, I'm going to get up here and show you some super cool, deep things, and you can't figure it out. You need to talk to me to figure things out. I have the relationship with God. You have a relationship with me, and I mediate between the people and God. That's nonsense. The Bible says we are given the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
Which means I am here to preach. I need to be reconciled myself to God. If I'm not, then I ain't no reason to preach. But the reason to preach the word is that the people can be reconciled to God. That you can hear from God.
Amen.
You don't need no mediator. God wants to talk to us on a one-to-one basis.
Yes.
That's the way it was in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
There wasn't somebody else God came down to talk to. It was God and Adam. We're talking because we're buddies. We're friends.
Yes.
And how much closer it is when you can recognize that He's your husband. And yours wife.
Amen.
Then it's not hard to approach Him. It's not hard to be sincere with Him. Because sometimes we put a front up to God. Oh God, you know. Or we start trying to explain ourselves. And all. What are you doing? He knows everything. You know, you find somebody that you really have a relationship with, you'll just start talking. You'll just tell exactly how you mean it. Then you go to someone you don't know so well, and all of a sudden, here's the shields, right? Sure. We only tell this much of the story because we don't have a good enough relationship. And that's how we treat God, when you don't have a good relationship with Him. You only bring so much of your life to Him because you're afraid of the sin that's in your life. You can't be completely open because you don't trust Him. You think He's going to kill you if you say the wrong thing. That's not what a husband does. That's what a dictator would do. And that's the image we have of God a lot of times. That He's sitting up there just like Zeus or something, waiting for you to mess up. And here He comes. Chaboom! That'll teach you to sin. And then what do we just read there again? When you are His enemy, He sent His Son to save you.
Right.
So don't give me this. God is trying with all that He... And this is God now. Show you the stubbornness of mankind. He has tried with everything to save man. Go down the Bible. He sent this man, they reject him. Okay, well, let's try this guy. Maybe they didn't like his haircut. I'll send this guy. He's a little bit taller. This one's a little bit more handsome. And they rejected him, rejected him, rejected him, rejected him. Until He came down Himself.
Yes.
In the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. And they still rejected Him. Because they couldn't recognize who He was. But we are given the ministry of reconciliation. To bring people from out of sin back into a relationship with God. Not to put anybody else in between there. Not a pastor, not a bishop. I don't care who you are. President of the world. It should not be between a man and God.
Right.
It should be you on a one-to-one basis. And you can even do it with your spouse, your children. You can't. It has to be you and him.
Amen.
One-to-one. Amen. Verse 20. Let me finish this out. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be you brought back to one with God. For He hath made Him, now watch this, He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we, oh my, here we go, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's a pretty good trade-off, I think. Now let me read you what Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, Revelation of Jesus Christ. No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. Now, make sure we clarify that word revelation. A revelation is not knowledge, like we would think. Oh, I learned this thing, and I can memorize it. No, a revelation is something that goes deeper than that. It's faith. It's something that, and you can't explain faith within the regions of our other five senses. It's its own thing. It's something that you know you have. And it produces things that are supernatural.
Amen.
That you can't explain with feel, touch, smell. It doesn't make sense. It's beyond that. It's something that I know God is real. Even if I hadn't seen Him or seen supernatural things again, I know He's real. Because something in here is faith. A real substance that I know He's there. And that's what revelation is to a person. Let somebody really realize that Christ has died for their sins. And let them get a revelation of it. And that's when God moves on the scene. And they go, I am free. Isn't that what we sang today? I've been free from the shackles that I was under. Because I know Christ is coming to my heart. I'm not afraid to go to hell anymore. I've been reconciled.
Amen.
That's faith. That's a revelation. And without a revelation, yeah, it's just... And let me just finish this. He goes into it. We have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it. But it's still not real to most people because the revelation by the Spirit is not there. The Word has not been quickened. We know that the Bible says that the Word will kill you, but the Spirit giveth life. The Word of God is meant to save us. But the problem is if you don't have the Spirit in you to respond to the Word, all you'll get is condemnation out of it. Because it will expose your sins. But if you have the Spirit of God in here, you'll realize your sins have already been paid for. So even if it does expose my sins, it's to help me, not destroy me. Because sin will destroy you. Even if you be saved, you start getting out there in sin and start doing things, it'll ruin your life. Even if you be saved. But the Word of God comes into a man that's got the Spirit, and it takes away all of that.
Amen.
Amen. The Word has not been quickened. The Bible says here, in the scripture we just read, now stay with me, I'm getting somewhere. 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. Excuse me, now let me read this slow. Did you get it? it says that we are the very righteousness of God Himself by being in Christ. It says that He, Jesus, became sin for us. It does not say He became sinful. Okay, Christ didn't commit any sins. That's not what the Bible's saying here. But became sin for us, that by our union with Him, we might become the righteousness of God. And we think, oh my, you know, how could I ever be the righteousness of God? That's why you don't try to do it yourself. Put faith in what Christ has done.
Yes.
He knew every sin you've committed. He knew everyone you would. He knew everyone you're doing right now, maybe. Uh-huh. And He already said, I will pay for the whole thing when He died on the cross. It was already paid for. See, how could you? If you say you're not the righteousness of God being in Christ, you're saying Christ's atonement was not good enough. You're saying His blood could not cover your sins.
Right.
Your sins were too great for Him.
Uh-huh.
And that's blasphemy.
That's right.
Christ could overcome anything He wanted to.
Uh-huh.
Even when He gave up His life. Satan didn't take His life. He gave it up.
Uh-huh.
He could have said, I could have called 12 legions of angels and killed everyone right here, right now. He said, but if He'd have done that, He'd have saved Himself, we'd all be dead.
Right.
Because there'd be no atonement made. But you see, He's a good husband. He's willing to lay His life down for His wife.
Uh-huh.
And He did it.
Yes.
And if He could go down and raise again, it only proves that we were in Him and we're going to raise again too. We don't have to worry about going to hell. Not a man that's in Christ.
Right.
Now, if there's a little doubt there, you need to get that out of your life.
Uh-huh.
If you can't look at yourself and go, I know I've been redeemed. I know I've been changed from death unto life. And that this thing that's in me, the Word of God that's come into my heart, is incorruptible.
Amen.
It has no sin. And I identify with that. That I become the righteousness of God because He reconciled me back. He brought me back to what I should have been. Brother Branham makes a very bold statement here, so I want to say this. If we accept the fact, and we must.
The fact. Amen.
So it's a fact, and we must accept this. That He literally became sin for us by His substitution for us. Then we must also accept the fact that we, by our union with Him, have become the very righteousness of God. Watch this. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept one is to accept the other. So for you to say, Christ died for my sins, He took all my sins away. When you say you accept that, you're automatically accepting, I have become the righteousness of God. It has to go hand in hand. You can't leave part of it out.
Right.
Amen.
Good.
Now, we know the Bible says that. It can't be denied. But the revelation of it is missing. It is not real to the majority of God's children. Look, He didn't say the majority of sinners. Sinners don't get it. All right? We don't need to go into that. Sinners don't get the Word. They read this and it's bogus to them. Oh, look, I can find this contradiction here and here and here. No, get the Spirit one time. It don't contradict anything.
Right.
Talk to the author one time. He'll tell you what that book meant.
Amen.
That's the problem. A lot of people read the book. They never met the author. They don't know how to interpret the book no more. You want to know how a book is read? Go find the author. He'll tell you what it's all about.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we've done. God wrote this book. It's not real to the majority of God's children. It's just a good verse in the Bible. But we need to have it made alive to us. That will take revelation. That's the whole point. It's time to start using what God has given us.
That's good.
He doesn't want us to sit around on it. He doesn't want you to go wallow up to Him all the time. Every time you make a mistake, go, oh no, I'm not saved again. Oh Jesus, please go die for me again. He did it once for all.
Amen.
And if you've accepted that, and the life of Christ has come into you, you need to act upon it now. Don't let your house get sick. Don't let Satan come in and do a rampage in your house. You've been given dominion. Because
right.
You'll be given a new name.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ. Mrs. Jesus Christ. And when you say, I pray this in Jesus' name, I'm identifying that I'm a part of that name.
Amen.
So it's not so hard to have faith no more. If I was going to sign a letter in the name of Andrew Kressel, I'd just sign it and I'd hand it off.
Uh-huh.
That's my name. Now if I was plagiarizing, I'd be a little more sneaky about it. Right? And that's the reason most Christians don't get nothing. They're plagiarizing the name of Jesus. They never met this God. They don't know that He's real. They don't know that the check ain't going to bounce. They're afraid. You know, oh, you might get healed, but maybe not. That's not what the Bible said. When they came to Jesus, He healed every single one of them.
Yes, He sure did.
Every single one of them. In the book of Acts, when the apostles, it said they came before Him and they healed them all. So what's happened to the church? We let sickness just come in and go, well, you know, sometimes God just lets us go through a hard time. Now, that'd be one thing if you really had faith. You wouldn't go around whining about it.
Right.
You say, yeah, I got an infirmity, but bless God, I'm healed. You know, coughing? Nope, I ain't coughing no more. Now, that ain't lying. That's taking the word and making it alive. Using your new name. I'm tied to him. I'm tied to Christ.
Yes, I am.
But we know we can read it out of the Bible. I'm going to go through this because I've already went through it last time. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So any Christian that's in heaven now, that's on earth right now, we all have the same name. We're all wrapped up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're all one family.
Right.
We all got the same last name. Okay? And I might have a little bit, you know, I have my dad's last name, I got a different first name. That don't mean we're not the same family. We're the same family. We got the same name. And it's the same with Christ. We know Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So where were you before the foundation of the world? I was in Christ.
Amen.
And he already chose me before I even got here. That's the great mystery of God. Is that he already knew who was going to be saved. He already picked them, chose them, prepared the way for them, did all the hard work. We don't got to do nothing. All we got to do is accept it. Accept it by faith until something happens.
Uh-huh.
That's when you know you've really have accepted it. When something changes.
Uh-huh.
I'm not the old wild crazy creature I was before. I've been changed from death unto life. Those things that used to sway me and make me do all kinds of evil, that has died. And now I can live unto God like I'm supposed to. Let me read a few quotes. I'm going to get moving fast. God's provided a place of worship. Now remember, we died in our own name, was buried and raised in his. Now to be born again means you got to die first.
Because
you already got a life. You've been born one time. In order to be born again, you'd have to die to that life and then be born again.
Right.
Now don't get in the natural, because that's what Nicodemus said too. Do I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual death. That I'm going to die to my own ideas. I'm going to die to trying to save myself. I can't do it. I'm going to die to trying to be good enough to serve God. You can't do it. I'm going to die to all that and accept that he died, took my place, and now I'm in him, and he can resurrect my life anew. That I can walk in the Spirit of God, and the same signs that follow Jesus Christ can follow my life. Because it's the same life in me. Ephesians 2:5. I think we should read this together one more time. I know we went there before. Philippians. Philippians 2. Page 1258, John. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the Bible tells us right now, we need to let his mind become our mind. Our mind, old mind, our carnal mind, what we think is right, what we think is wrong, needs to die. When we get to the Bible, it's whatever the Bible says is right. I don't care what thoughts I had before. They die. This is right. That's the mind of Christ. Even Christ had to overcome himself. Remember, he said his body didn't want to die when he was sitting there praying. Remember, he was sweating so bad. He was in such agony. He said his sweat became like blood. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he overcome that feeling. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Speaking of the Father. And the Christian would be exactly the same way. He was living for others. That's what if you want a definition for Christian, it's live for other people.
Right.
That's when you find Christians, not those that isolate themselves away from the world. Oh, we can't help those. They're sinners. They're evil. Yeah, you were too, buddy. Good thing somebody gave their hand out to you.
Right. Amen.
Life moves through the body of Christ. It takes one person to stretch their hand out to something else and bring that person in.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not willing to give our hands out, you're not being a Christian. You're not living for others. As Jesus gave us the prime example of that. Now look at Christ. Here's his mind. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, not over God now. He didn't say, I can do whatever I want and I don't care about the word. No, equal with him. Which means my mind and his mind are one now.
Right.
I don't think a different thought than he was. What I'm thinking is his word, and I'm going to act upon it. And that proves that it's God's thought, because God's word means it had to be God's thought first.
Right.
And that it became his word. You don't say a word until you think it. And sometimes that's too fast for most of us. You know, we let something go out and go, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. Now that don't happen with God. He's our, like we said, he ain't never had a new thought. It was all right. It was perfect the whole time. Just take my word for it, right? Take God's word for it. That's the way it is. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with him, but made himself of no reputation. So though he was Lord of heaven, he was the creator of the universe, he still made himself of no reputation. He didn't go around trying to, I'm the Messiah. I'm here to save the world. You need me. That's not what he did. He left the door open saying, this is the only way of salvation. If you're not in me, you won't be there. It wasn't like he was boasting. He was saying, this is just fact. You know, if you want to go to my house, you have to go down here and take a right. Mm-hmm. You can try to argue all day, you're supposed to go left. I'm not here to offend you or make you mad, but you have to go right. Or you're not going to get there. And that's what I'm saying. When you present salvation to people, they go, well, why is God so mean? How come he only made one way? That's not the way it is. This is it. This is the only way you can go. The Bible said there's many paths to destruction, but only one to the way of life. And that road is very small and narrow. Straight and narrow is what the Bible says. And it's just like when we talk about truth and error, like 2 + 2. Most of you would say, hey, I know that's 4. 4.1 is a wrong answer. So is 8 million. Okay? There's all kinds of wrong answers, but there's one right answer. And it's the same with the Word of God. Some people want to take part of it, leave part of it out, and you come with the wrong answer. Your equation's not equal. You got to have it all to have the right God. You got to have it all to have the right mind.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Don't add nothing to God's Word. Don't take nothing out of it. Don't even bring your own thought to it. Say, God, whatever you said, I accept it by faith, and it's true. Even if I don't get it, it doesn't matter. I believe it. He said, if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover.
Amen.
This disease says it's incurable. I'm not looking at that. God's word said it's possible. I believe it.
Amen.
Walk out, it'll be fine.
Right.
Now, I've seen it too many times to know that that ain't nothing but the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even, like we talked about that one student with the growth on his ear, I have no clue what that disease was. It didn't matter what it was.
Right.
God's already overcome every sin, sickness, death. He conquered it all on the cross. It was done. It was over. Now, there did come a time when Jesus was pushed to the wall, right for the cross, where they kept bugging him. You know, if you be the Messiah, do this. If you're the Messiah, do this. And finally, when it came to the end of the road, he wasn't ashamed of who he was. He knew who he was. He knew. He looked in the Bible. He said he would send his son, that there would be a son, mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince. Oh, there you go, right there, right? He knew all that was him. And in Mark chapter 14, right before the cross, when Jesus was put on trial, I want to show you that he only put up with the devil so long before he just let him know who he was. Everybody feeling good this morning?
Uh-huh.
Amen. Praise God. Pray you're being blessed. God has done so much for us that we can't even comprehend it sometimes. Mark chapter 14, verse 60. Yep, 60. Mark 14, 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. So look, right there, he was trying his best to just let it go. You know, you guys want to accuse me of stuff, none of it's right, but I'm not here to make myself of any reputation. I'm here to do the will of the Father. And they sat there and waited. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. Now, I don't think he said, I am, Caiaphas. That's who I am. Yeah, no, he's probably like, I am. And what does he say there? And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That was just fact. He didn't have to get emotional about it. He knew it was true.
Right.
You don't got to get emotional about something that you know is true.
Right.
Let them scoff at you. Like we said about 2 + 2 = 4. You want to come and bring all these documents and stuff that it's five, it doesn't mean anything to me. I've got the truth. You can come fight it all you want. You're wrong anyhow. And that's what Christ was saying here. Yes, I am the Christ. I'm who I said I was. And it wasn't right away. It was when push came to shove. And it's the same with the bride of Christ. We should be walking around going, hey, didn't you know I was the bride? I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Look at me. I'm pretty good stuff. You know, I'm the one that God came to save. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Woo. No, that's foolishness. But you walk around, yes, you live for Christ. And if it comes down to it, they want to know, are you a Christian? Yes, sir. I don't got to walk around with pride. I know who I am. Can you conquer every sickness, death, hell? Well, it already was done. Christ already did it for me, so yes, I can. I'm not overcoming it. He already overcame it.
Right.
All I got to do is walk forward and take it. It's easy when you got a gift.
Right.
You know, if it was a reward, I'd be a little bit more scary about getting saved. But salvation's a gift.
Uh-huh.
Here you go. Free. Paid in full. Praise be to God. Jesus said also, let me just turn there real quick. John chapter 10, 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. So he'd already given them the answer. They come and say, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? We'll believe you if you just tell us. Well, he knew that wasn't true because he did. I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness in me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and I give unto them eternal life. If you can just identify that you're a sheep of God, you're a son of God, he said, I give them eternal life.
Amen.
He didn't say, I'm going to make sure they do this, this, and this to earn it. No, I give it to them. Take it. And eternal life is, we're going to go to heaven and live forever in a world of eternal bliss. But look, there's benefits now.
Right.
I don't got to live in condemnation no more. I don't got to worry and go, oh man, am I really going to be saved? Am I really going to make it? No, that was taken away. He took it all. And when sin comes into my house, when it tries, and my house is this body now. I'm not talking about the physical place. I'm talking about me. When Satan tries to bring sin into my life, I've been given power to cast it back out.
Amen.
I don't got to sit there and put up with it. It was so separated. Remember we read in Romans chapter 7. Paul said, when I sin, it's not me that does it. It's sin that dwells in me. Because he was so detached. He was so reconciled that sin that was in his body wasn't him anymore.
Amen.
That man had died. Paul was anew.
Yes, he was.
In Christ.
Yes.
Amen. The new name. Glory to God. We've read it before, and I'm not going to go through this. We're just going to paraphrase this because I'm on 2 out of 5, and that's usually how this goes. Adam and Eve, we know before the fall, were co-equal over creation. They had power over creation. The same, whatever Adam said went, whatever Eve said would go. Because they were one. Before the fall, they had one name. They were both called Adam. We've already went over this. Eve was not given a name until after they had fallen. She had a child, and then Adam said, I'm going to call her Eve because she's the mother of all living. Before that, they were both Adam. They had the same name. And if we've been reconciled, if his name, like we just read here, Jesus said, I've come in the Father's name. Tells you pretty clear what the Father's name is then. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
I came in my Father's name. That must be what his name was. Because it is. And if I be reconciled, that means I take on his name again. That I had it, we lost it because Adam died. When Adam sinned, we all died with him. Because he was our representative. And you can say, oh, that Adam, you know, if I was there, I would have done. No, you wouldn't have. You would have done the same thing. Okay? We all would have done exactly what Adam and Eve did. Because we're humans. And humans, physical or carnal nature is the enmity against God every time. We always resist him. If it wasn't for God's spirit coming into us, we would always resist his will. But now that he comes into me, I can respond to his word. And I'll do what he says. So we know the Bible also prophesied that in the end time, our name would be one. God's name would only be one. There wouldn't be Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran. That's not what God's system is. His system is that we are all one in Christ. We all take it on the name Christian. And that's how we're supposed to be one. Because we're all supposed to believe the same Bible.
Right.
That's the problem nowadays. We don't even got the same Bible half the time. And I'm not totally opposed to all these translation stuff, but a lot of them are trash. I'm just going to be honest with you. When I read something out of the King James and I read I can't remember what it's called anymore. Well, the Message one and some of these other Bibles that they have now. Oh, God have mercy. This don't even mean the same thing. That, and we know what it said in the book of Revelation. You change one word, take one word out, put one in, you're done. That's not, oh my, I pray for those people. God have mercy on them. But where was I going with that? I don't remember now, but maybe that was for somebody on translations. Who knows? We are always a part of God. We always had this ability within us. It took God to die for us, to break the sin that was around us, destroy that, so He could come into us and live the same life within us that He did within His own Son. Coming out of the voice of the sign, 64, the identification of God has always been knowing, can foresee what has been and tell what has been. How is that or what it will be? We know that. That's how the prophets was known. It's because they could tell the future. They could tell things in the past. They could discern your heart, tell you what you're thinking. They could do these things. That's how Jesus was known as the Messiah. And He's the same Messiah today as He was then, only without a corporate body here on earth. He sent His Spirit back to use your body, my body, the same as He did Christ. Now, you might not be able to do this, which He was talking about, you know, His ministry. You might not be able to do exactly what I do. You might not be able to do what I'm supposed to do. That's not the big deal. We know that in the Scripture. There's only one generation. But yet you can believe it, and you got other things that you can do. Everybody. I hope that equips you this morning, that you don't got to wait on Brother Andrew to come pray for somebody for them to get well. You don't got to wait on me to do whatever. Look, I'm only one man. I get busy sometimes. I might not be able to be there. I hope that you're equipped enough with the name of Jesus Christ that when you have a loved one that's maybe they're lost, you have the ability by faith to say, that person will not be lost. I'm claiming their salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't need to call me up and say, brother, we need to pray for so-and-so. You do it.
Amen.
I don't mind praying with you, but don't tell me I got to pray for you. That ain't right. What you're doing is what the Bible said not to do. There's only one mediator between God and man. That was the man Christ Jesus, the supreme God-man, made one. He was all God and all a man, all at the same time.
Amen.
He wasn't two people now, three people, as a lot of people want to say. He wasn't a schizo. All right, Christ was one. He was God made flesh. Now He has come in this day, the same as He did in Christ, except a different body. What's the difference between us and Christ is one thing, the body we live in. Christ's body came virgin born. It came without being tied to the original sin. We all come sex born. That's the only way you get here in the fallen creation. And we come tied into sin, knowing that that was the first sin that was ever committed. And since we were tied into that sin, we automatically have a resistance against the will of God, while Christ's body automatically had a yielding to the Word of God. Because He was the Word made flesh. He took on, remember, He didn't become sinful now. He took upon Himself our sin. He didn't die for His own sin. He took your sin. And if you could just get the faith of this, that this all those sins that you've done, look, they're not there.
Right.
God took them, put them on Christ, and when He died, paid. It was over.
Uh-huh.
It was done. Which means now He can use our body the same way. Because you've been washed. You've been cleansed. You're not filthy. You're holy, without blemish, the Bible says. Predestinated to be saved. Predestinated to do these works. I've got all kinds of scriptures in that. And the only way, like I said, if you want scriptures, I got too many to get through right now. But if you want any benefit of this, you've got to know I'm in Jesus Christ. That I've been reconciled back to being in Him again. That I have the right to use His name. People want to use His name, they don't have a right to. I'm only allowed to use my name because it's my name. Amen? I can't go using Kyle's name for anything. I'm not Kyle. I can use my name. And if Christ has given me His name, now I'm allowed to use it, being born again in the Spirit of God. But if you're not born again, you can try all day to use it. It won't work right. You might have a little faith for this, that, or whatever. But when it comes down to it, you're going to be wanting on the day of judgment. It's a sad condition to be. But I'm not, I hope and pray with you too. We're not identifying with that this morning. I'm a Christian. Not by my works, not by my power, not by my might, but by His Spirit coming into me. That's what made me a Christian. And that's what will make any of us Christians. Trying to think where to wrap up here. I'm going to close soon. We look at the life of the church. We could watch it in Christ. We could look at his life in the Bible. It's very plain. The things that happened in his life. The supernatural that followed his life. The peace that was around him at all times. That he was never worked up. Remember, they said you couldn't even hear his voice in the street. He was so quiet and meek and humble. But yet, he had the power to take a devil and just tell it to go. He had the power to take a cancer and act like it just disappeared. A man couldn't walk and he just picked him up and he started walking. Because he's the creator. He didn't have to get all excited. He's just the creator. You think God said, "Let there be light"? Let there be light. No, let there be light. I'm the creator. I've got authority to do this. And it's the same as in Christ. Then we watch the early church, the apostles. When they received the Holy Ghost, the same thing happened.
Yes, it did.
They went out. Any sickness, they cast it out. Anytime the devil came against it, they weren't afraid of it. They took it out. Epileptic children, didn't matter. Put hands on them, they would leave. Because they'd recognized, they'd given the same authority. Then watch what happened. The Nicene Council in the year, it's around 300 or so. They decided that the Word of God's not good enough. We need to add our own doctrines into this. You know, we need to really do penance for our sins, not repentance. That's all God wants. He wants repentance. He wants you to come to him and say, "I'm wrong, Lord." That's all he wants. Because then he can work upon that. He doesn't want penance. Do you understand what penance is? You're trying to do something to earn his favor back. And how many times do we fight going back to that? Especially if you've been a Christian for a while and you mess up and then you try to, "Oh Lord, I did that wrong and I feel like I need to read the Bible an hour before I have the victory again." He doesn't want that. He wants your repentance. That's it. He watched the early church. They had the same life moving through them. But then after the Nicene Council, they took on dogmas saying you got to pay for your sins. You got to pay people out of hell. You got to come to us to talk to God. We're the Pope or the Bishop or whatever. And if you don't line up with us, you're of the devil. And they added all that into there. What happened to the church? Oh, signs and wonders, gone. Peace in the people, gone. God able to talk to people, it was eradicated. And what has the church been doing ever since then? It's just like any plant. That plant came up after on the day of Pentecost. It put out fruit. And in the fruit, you always have the seeds. And those seeds went to the ground and died. And you watched the church. And they even went down on the ground, literally. They had to have church underground because they're afraid they're going to die. Because the Catholic Church would come kill you if you said you weren't Catholic. If you wouldn't bow down to their little wafer and say that that's Christ, that little cracker, that that's Jesus Christ, and you said, "No, sir, my Lord is in heaven on the right hand of the Father," and you said, and they kill you right there. That's blasphemy. And we watched it. The church had to go into the ground and die. But then it started coming back up. It started coming back up when Martin Luther, when he put those 95 theses on there, and was saying, "This stuff ain't right. You're making people pay for their sins. That ain't right. That's not in the scriptures. By faith are we saved. Not by works. By faith." And we had a little restoration. And then, I wouldn't say restoration, I would say reformation. It was starting to bring it back. The Great Reformation. And then you watch Luther's life even. Yeah, he believed he was saved by faith, but he still cussed. Still had a pipe. Still, he was known for being pretty vulgar. Mm-hmm. And that ain't right. Christians ain't to act that way. Then you see John Wesley raise up. Said, "We need to be sanctified. We need to live right before the people because we're bringing a blasphemy on Christ. If you be a Christian, you should depart from your sins. And you should be able to live holy before them." I don't think Christians should go around cussing. I don't even like these fake cuss words we're coming up with. Okay? You mean the same word. You really, it doesn't matter what you say. That word means the same as that. It's just said different. You need to clear up all that stuff. We've got to, you know, and the world's got so much corruption coming in. You really have to watch on every angle nowadays. Because that's what Laodicea is all about. Sin. That's all it's all about, sin. And we watched we already said that. We watched Wesley come up and said we need to sanctify our lives. Not by your power now, but by the Spirit of God being in you, giving you power to push all that sin out. So you can live before the people clean. Then we watched the Pentecostals come on the scene. God's still bringing that church right back up to where it was supposed to be. We watched the Pentecostals. They started speaking in tongues again. They started interpreting. They started prophesying. They started casting out devils. But what did they do? They turned around and went right back to the same thing that every other church did. We're the Pentecostals. If you don't look up to our doctrine, you're not in it. And what happened? It left that as well. And the life has been traveling through. That doesn't mean that they didn't have it now. That doesn't mean that Luther didn't have the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean that Wesley didn't have the Holy Ghost or the Pentecostals all the way up. Because you watch the seed. If I would put a thing of corn right there and it came up a little blade, would you say that's corn? What else are you going to call it, right? It's corn. But is it the same thing that went in the ground? No, the thing that went in the ground is a little corn seed. But it's still corn nonetheless. It's the life traveling through it. Stalk comes up, we'll say it's Wesley. The life's still moving through. The second the life gets up to there, you know what happens down there? It leaves. That dies. And you watch as God moved into the Wesleyan church, the Methodists and all that. Watch the Lutheran churches. They all started dying because they didn't want to travel with God's life. And then as the life moved from there into the Pentecostals, you watch all the Methodist churches start leaving it. They're ashamed from what John Wesley taught now. They don't even teach the same thing. Then you watch the Pentecostal churches, and God's life moved into the exact same life it was that went in the ground, which is none other than Christ. And you watch them all pull away, going back into the world, allowing worldly music to come back in, allowing women to lose their holiness that the Bible said we ought to have, allowing men to cuss and swear and miss church on Sunday for football, acting like this stuff's okay. And they allowed it in and say, oh, as long as you come to our church, you know, as long as you pay your tithes, it's all right. No, it isn't. That's not the life of Christ. That's not Mrs. Jesus Christ. That's Miss Laodicea. I didn't plan on going this route. But we're in the end time, and we're not waiting around for something to happen. It's now. The end of the world is upon us. Let's go ahead and stand together. Let's stand together. I didn't mean to go that long. We're back into the end time with the life that is to be in us. What is supposed to be manifested is supposed to be Jesus Christ again. In a different body. You see, use that new name. Don't never be afraid that God can't answer according to His name. He's already signed the check. He just wants you to agree and put it down. These things are happening right now. Let me read this real quick. Recognizing your day and its message, 64. Everywhere now, there's no revival. Everybody's complaining. Ministers crying. I was reading one of the outstanding papers that comes here to the church, a very fine paper. I know the editor. I know the people. They're godly people, very fine, brother and sister Moore, of the Herald of His Coming. One of the finest papers in the field, Herald of His Coming. But they hardly will print anything unless it's about fast pray. Fast pray. Sound the trumpet. Get how many reads it, you know? You see it all the time. Fast pray. It's all you hear. Fast pray. We're going to get a great breaking of the day. There's a great thing going to happen. All of you, pray, pray, pray. We're not too late yet. That's still going on right now. You get out and you look at the big movements in the churches, the nominal churches and stuff. You know, we got to pray. We got to ask God these things. They're finally realizing it's catching up to them. They're sitting catching up. You know, we let down the bars 50 years ago. Started letting women do this and men do this. And now we're reaping for it. Now we're going, oh my, this was a bad idea. We shouldn't allow this. Now our children go out and get guns and shoot people at 5 years old. You see what I'm saying? They're reaping what they sow and they're starting to recognize this was wrong. But look, watch what Brother Branham says here. Why do they do that? Why did they do that? They want a great awakening. They're crying, believing that there will be an awakening. They're good people. Why is it? What have they done? They have not recognized the awakening of the bride. They've missed their day. And when you're looking for God to start moving, like He's going to move across all of America, it's done. They've rejected Him. They put Him out. The only ones that will be in this rapture that we're waiting for is the bride of Jesus Christ. Nobody else is going to make it. And it will be way smaller than any of those movies you've seen about it. They've not recognized the awakening of the bride. See, by being a Christian. Now look, they're still Christians. I still believe many people out there are saved. I'm not saying they're not. But there's one thing for being just saved and being redeemed. Being reconciled back to God. It goes much deeper than that. They're Christians. They feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized what's been done. That's what's making them feel that way. They know something's supposed to happen. But see, they're looking for it way off in the future to come when it's already happened right by you. What day are we in? This is it, church. This is the end time. And it is time for us to check up.
Sure.
That's the same thing they did in the old days. They was believing in a coming Messiah. They believed that there would be a forerunner come. But it was right on them and they didn't know it. Didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. They believed that there would come a forerunner that would forerun the Messiah. And they cut His head off and killed their Messiah. because it was prophesied that they were blinded. Hosea said so. Let's bow our heads together. Now this is between you and him. Like I said a minute ago, I didn't plan on going that route there, but you feel in your heart that there's any doubt of your standing before God. Now this isn't, I don't even have my eyes open either. Just before our Creator that we know we've invited to be here, and I believe He is here by His Spirit. If you have any doubt in your heart whether you're going to be in the rapture, whether you're part of the bride, whether you're even allowed to use the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hands to Him and say, Lord, I don't want no doubt anymore. I want it all out of my mind. I want you to give me that perfect assurance that I'm going to be there. And I believe He sees your hands. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not looking around. It's between you and God. I'm not a mediator, but God is.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's pray together. Now you pray in your own way. Whatever way you feel led to pray, I want you to pray and cry out to Him because I believe that He'll answer your prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time we've had to be in your word, for you to show us, Lord, the benefits that you've given to us. Lord, but it just seems a sombering time when we think about the evil that's coming upon this world. How, Lord, that it's going to be over soon and there's going to be many die. There's going to be many souls in hell, Lord, and that didn't have to go there, but they chose it, Father. But I just pray you help us to be a light into a dying world. Lord, don't let there be any blackness in us. Don't let there be any evil within our hearts. Lord, may it all be taken away. Father, may all the doubts of whether we're Christians or not be erased. Lord, and may we have perfect faith in your atonement, that you've redeemed us back to being perfect with you as we were before the foundation of the world. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray whatever the needs of the people are, that you would meet each one, Father, that we wouldn't be afraid to take you at your word, but you'd be able to fulfill it in our lives. If there's any sickness here, I pray you'd heal every one of them, Father. Even the requests that were brought, Lord, I pray each one would receive their healing and they would know that the prayer of faith was prayed and that's why they're well. Father, if there's any sin in our lives, I pray you take it far from us, Lord. And if we just need a nice pouring out of the Spirit on our hearts, I just pray, Lord, you just give it to us this morning, Father. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. Lord, I've done all I know how to do. Lord, we're just going to commit the people, the word, and our ears into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. If you have a need and you'd like me to pray with you, I'm going to invite you to come on up. And we'll pray together.